Hello, and welcome to episode 46 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. We are here today with Kate Stewart, Mayor of Tacoma Park, Maryland. How are you doing today, Kate?
Terrific, thank you.
Excellent. The first question I'd like to ask you is, what are you currently doing, or what have you ever done, to advance the public interest, and why?
Great. Well, right now I am mayor of Tacoma Park, and Tacoma Park is a city in Montgomery County in Maryland. Mm-hmm. In Tacoma Park, we like to say we live on the edge because we live right on the edge of Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. We also border Prince George's County, and we're in the corner of Montgomery County.
Okay. And so you're mayor. So why are you mayor? Why is this something that someone would want to do with one's life?
Ah, that is a good question. Tacoma Park is a wonderful community. Mm-hmm. It's a very diverse community, and it's a community that is changing.
Yeah.
Like many places in Montgomery County, mm-hmm. We're seeing new people move in, and at the same time, there are a lot of people who want to stay in Tacoma Park mm-hmm. as they get older. It's really a community in a little bit of a transition. We're seeing new families come in, new businesses come in, mm-hmm. And at the same time, people who've been here for decades. Mm-hmm. So it's an exciting time to be a mayor. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things is looking at the future mm-hmm. and planning for what kind of community we want to be and making sure that the interests of people who lived here for decades, mm-hmm. as well as those who are newer residents,
right.
That we bring those together and we work together for the future.
So how would you characterize this community? You said that you're a community on the edge, and
right.
geographically with political jurisdictions, I understand. Also, I almost thought that had some other connotations because there's a certain culture, if you will, associated with individuals who choose to locate themselves in this community, and sometimes I've heard them describe themselves as edgy in a way. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, is this a town or city, and why is it a town or a city? What's the difference between those two? And then how do you characterize the community?
So we're a city. We're a municipality here, and we've been a city for, I think we're 126 years old now.
Okay.
We just recently celebrate our 125th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think Tacoma Park, living on the edge, could mean a number of things. We're a city comprised of activists, mm-hmm. People who feel very passionately, not only about their community, but about the country and about the world. So it's also an exciting place to be a mayor because people are very engaged and many issues.
How would you characterize their political identity, or is their activism not associated with any particular stance in the political spectrum?
Mm-hmm. I think if we look at the traditional political spectrum, Democrat, Republican, progressive, conservative, this is a very progressive democratic area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right. So why did you choose to locate yourself here? How did you come to move here?
So I came to move here over 20 years ago.
Okay.
First I grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
So that's where I'm from. That's
uh-huh.
sort of my point of reference.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was in my early 20s, my husband and I got married. We were living in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
in Washington, D.C., and his parents, actually, my husband's parents, moved to Tacoma Park mm-hmm. From Amherst, Massachusetts.
Oh.
And we would come out here on the weekends, go to the farmer's market, go out to dinner with them, and I fell in love with Tacoma Park because it had all the things that I wanted in a community.
Right.
It was close to public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And my other requirement that I told my husband is I couldn't live any further than being able to walk to get milk or have good food delivered to my house. Having grown up in Brooklyn, there were certain requirements. In addition, this is before we had children and I knew we were planning for a family. When I was growing up, I lived with my grandparents for a while, and mm-hmm. particularly with my grandmother. And having that intergenerational relationship was very important. So I wanted, when we did have children, and which we did, to have them near a set of grandparents.
Interesting.
So that's how we actually came to Tacoma Park. We first rented,
yeah.
Which I think is a good perspective to have because in Tacoma Park, almost half of our residents mm-hmm. Live in multifamily housing mm-hmm. and are renters.
Hmm.
So understand.
Why is that important?
I think it's important because I think it's important to understand different people's perspective
right.
and, what a renter may need out of city services is different than maybe what a homeowner needs. And I so see. I know what it's like to be a renter here in the community. Uh-huh. And then we were lucky enough to purchase a home. Mm-hmm. And we've been there ever since.
Do you think that many individuals in this community were similarly motivated to move here? Or are you having multiple generations choosing to live here? Mm-hmm. Or how is your story similar to the story of those around you?
So I think, people are attracted to this area. People who are starting and maybe starting out and having families, because we have very strong public schools here.
And do your children go to MCPS?
Yes. My children have gone all the way through MCPS. I now have a junior at Blair and an eighth grader at Tacoma Park Middle School.
Okay.
I also think because it's a very progressive community, mm-hmm. people of, all different types of people who like to live in a diverse community that is accepting of a wide range of people are very attracted to living in Tacoma Park. And that's one of the things, too, is we're a very diverse community, and we celebrate that diversity, and we work hard to also be inclusive. So I like to say diversity is about numbers, but to really be a community, you need to make sure you're inclusive and that anyone who calls our city home mm-hmm. actually feels welcome here.
So why run for mayor? First of all, was that even the start of your political career? Mm-hmm. And then after that, clearly you must have had a platform and a campaign. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why some people voted for you, and enough of them voted for you to vote you into office. Yeah. Why did you decide to run? And then why did they decide to have you represent them?
So before I was mayor, I was actually on the city council for a few years. I ran in a special election after we unfortunately lost one of our city council members who died of cancer.
Hmm.
And I have to say, at the time when the special election was about to happen, I think I'm probably like a lot of women who've gotten into politics a little later in life, and I had to be asked. I had not thought about running for city council until a number of friends of mine came to me and said, there's an opening on the city council, and we think you'd be good at it. And at first, I tried to convince other people to do it.
Really? People were reluctant to seek a vacant office?
They were. Because it's not a full-time job, you have to,
Do you get paid for being on city council?
Oh, if you're a city council member, you get about $10,000, and as mayor, I get $12,000 for the year.
And to what extent is mayor a full-time job in the sense that it takes 40 hours a week of your time?
Oh, it is definitely a full-time job. It is, and I have another full-time job, but to do it well, and not to always be reactive, mm-hmm. Because there's things that just come up that need your attention.
Mm-hmm.
But to really plan for the future of mm-hmm. our community, to really connect with all the different parts of our community and different segment of residents, that's a full-time job. So
you mentioned something, which is that you're a woman.
Yes.
Surprise.
Yeah.
And that means something.
Mm-hmm.
So not all of our listeners are female.
Right.
And there's a national narrative about what it is to be a woman in today's society. Can you talk to us, to me and our listeners, a little bit about why is it challenging? Why does a woman need to be asked, in your example, but in I guess it was implied that in other examples, a man will just throw his hat into the ring. And how does having a family, having children, how does that differ for a woman as opposed to, say, your husband, who incidentally also has children?
Right. Well, the fact that people actually asked me about my children when I was running and who was going to take care of them, I can guarantee you that probably none of my colleagues who are all male on the city council were asked that question when they were running if they have children. But even here in Tacoma Park, that was actually a question I got asked multiple times.
In, formal candidate forums?
Or
by journalists or questionnaires?
Not by journalists, but in when we would do the house parties and the coffee things.
Meet and greets.
People really question, how are you going to do this if you have two you know, now, why small would they children.
Think that that's important to doing the job? That shouldn't you be able to balance your own life?
I would think that. But I think that's, again, that's sometimes, that is still the double standard that women in public life face. And so those types of questions.
Are any of the men on the city council also fathers?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you think that them spending time on a city council takes away time that they otherwise might spend with their children?
Well, for all of us, it takes away time. I mean, right? That so they no are, matter what we're, I mean, yes. So I would say for my male colleagues, for myself, any time we're spending doing city stuff is taking time away that we would probably, you know, be spending with our families or doing something for ourselves.
And you always had children while you were in elected office,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So are there any individuals without children?
Oh, yeah. There were a number of them whose children are grown.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is also speaks to the structure of why sometimes it is difficult to get a variety of people, not just women, but also men who have children on the city council, because again, you know, it's not a technically
yeah. It's not remunerated as if it were a full-time job,
right.
But the duties and responsibilities of the office are akin to it being a
right.
full-time job.
Yeah, and with email and other things, people, you know, their expectations of...
You're on call 24/7?
Yeah, like when you're going to respond mm-hmm. and things like that, so...
So what did you run on? What did you say you were going to do when you got elected? And then have you done those things?
Yeah. So when I was running for mayor, there were a number of things that were very important to me. And we have, as a council, worked towards a number of them. So one of them was community engagement. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of politicians talk about community engagement.
What is community engagement?
Right. Exactly. That was one of the questions. What do we mean by community engagement? For me, community engagement means getting more people involved in the decisions that we make. As a city government.
How do you do that?
Well, the way we've done it is, first of all, I always find that our city council meetings is not the way to do that.
Okay.
It really isn't.
Why
the
is
way
that?
It's structured because...
Are they boring?
No, well, I don't think they're boring, but it doesn't... they're not set up to actually have dialogues or garner input.
It's one-way direction.
It's one-way direction. You know, you have public comments set up where people can come for 3 minutes, they speak, and then they sit down. But there's not a back and forth and a dialogue. So what we've done in the city is a number of things. One is that we hold quarterly community conversations. And what we do is we pick one of our priority issues that we've set as a council.
What's an example?
So last February, we had a community conversation on affordable housing.
Affordable housing.
And the way we structure it is we spend half the time having people from around the country, the different cities, other counties, the state,
experts
come in, government people, nonprofit people, mm-hmm. come in and do type of TED Talk type of mm-hmm. Presentation. So they're short, 5-10 minutes, kind of covering the topic. So mm-hmm. when we did affordable housing, we had people who are experts on housing issues.
Mm-hmm.
We had people from Montgomery County come and say what's happening at the county level mm-hmm. And kind of give us a good foundation mm-hmm. on what's going on with housing and affordable housing in the area. And then after that, after we all have the same basic kind of foundation on information, mm-hmm. we break up into smaller groups mm-hmm. that are moderated and then tackle some issues. So for housing, for example, it was like, well, how do we want to define affordable housing in Tacoma Park? What should our goals be? How are we going to get there? And then we collected all that information. We reported out on that,
mm-hmm.
and then that information and all that we gathered was then useful when we went to do our budget last mm-hmm. year. And in fact, we realized that there are some areas where we want to invest as a city to make sure that we are really staying diverse when it comes to thinking about attracting people of different income levels. So we actually put in our budget a $400,000 affordable housing reserve fund. $400,000 may not sound a lot to some people, but for us, when you talk about a budget of $30 million, that's a big commitment for us here in the city.
So you have the power to levy taxes upon residents.
Property taxes.
In addition to Montgomery County property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And those property taxes are your primary source of revenues.
Primary source, yeah.
And obviously, there are affordable housing programs at the federal, state, and county levels.
Mm-hmm.
In the county, there's moderately priced dwelling units. there's HUD and the federal government. There's lots of different affordable housing options. Do you coordinate among the different levels
sure.
of government?
And the thing that's very unique about Tacoma Park is that we have rent stabilization.
Okay.
Here in Tacoma.
Could you
Park.
Define that?
So rent stabilization, basically, what it does is it helps to keep rents at a level that people can afford.
So if I'm a property owner, mm-hmm. let's say I own a single family house and I want to rent it out to another family, and I want to charge, let's say, $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Is rent stabilization saying, well, next year I can't charge $5,000 a month?
It's pretty, yeah. And it's mostly for not necessarily single family, like renting out a basement apartment, mm-hmm. but for more larger multifamily dwellings. But that's basically how it works. You have increases, but it's not at the market value.
So does it limit the total price I initially set, or does it just more impose a limit on how much I can change and increase the rent?
It's a change and increase, yeah.
Each year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a percent cap?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is that percent cap?
It's usually based
on 3%?
Or it's based on the numbers that come out of, like, the county puts out a table every year.
And what's a range?
Oh, I'd have to go back.
Okay.
I don't want to spread any
into the
weeds
here. Okay, so it sounds like you had a campaign promise of let's do more civic engagement.
Mm-hmm.
You followed through and said, here are these quarterly meetings with my constituents, and we're going to talk about different issues.
Yep.
Going to get the TED Talks, get you engaged. Yeah. And did a lot of people come?
Yeah, we had a good showing for affordable housing. Then we did another one on youth success and looking at youth development programs in the city in June. And that one also helped us to identify priority areas and programming that we need to have in the city for our young people.
So one, just remaining on the topic of community engagement, the mm-hmm. Obama administration, one of their hallmark, and this is, just stay with me here for a minute, that one of the hallmark achievements of the Obama administration, according to the Obama administration, is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act,
uh-huh.
also known as Obamacare.
Right.
And though they claim to have many successes,
uh-huh.
they also recognize that many Americans don't appreciate the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
And President Obama, I've heard him say, has reprimanded himself for failing to adequately get out the word.
Right.
So it sounds like you made a campaign promise,
mm-hmm.
you had people show up, and then you actually did something in the budget that reflected that input.
Right.
Do the people know that you actually followed through?
That's a good question. I think some people know. I don't know how, it's interesting to note, like, how many people know.
How would they evaluate you?
Well, we do have a city newsletter.
Okay.
So that's one thing that goes out to every household in the city. We put it out once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we actually know when we do our resident surveys that is a place that people go to for information.
Okay.
Also our city website.
Yeah.
I have a blog that I put up information there. And we have a dedicated web page on these community conversations we have. So if somebody missed the affordable housing conversation,
right.
they can go there, they can view, because
uh-huh.
we taped it, and they can also look at the presentations and all the materials that were presented. I think another thing that is really important in terms of thinking about being an inclusive community and
yeah.
reaching out to different segments
mm-hmm.
is that our city website, you can read it in Amharic, you can read it in Mandarin, and in French, and in Spanish.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I don't know this for 100% sure, but I think we're probably one of the only, if not the only, city that has a website in Amharic.
In the United States.
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, in the U.S.
Obviously, there would be websites in Ethiopia that might have
probably.
That. So have you ever had any feedback from community members who say, look, I'm really surprised, but you actually, or I'm, you're exactly as I expected, but in any case, you've done what you said you're going to do. As a politician, you made a promise and
mm-hmm.
you followed through. Or is it, have you gotten that?
Not that directly, but I definitely think people are energized, engaged, that they're thinking our city government is on a good path. The thing is that my grandmother always had this saying that good work is only rewarded by more work.
Yeah.
So I think, we meet expectations and Expectations rise. You know, you want more, and which is a good thing because it keeps us moving. It keeps us, striving to do more.
Sure. So let's see here. So I'm just thinking about your being. So if a campaign. So how long is your term?
2 years.
A 2-year term. And how long have you been mayor?
A year, almost exactly.
Okay. So election time will be 1 year from now.
Yep.
Well, what are you doing differently than the previous mayor?
I think some of the doing this engagement piece is a little different. One of the other things that we've been doing is moving our city council meetings and not always having them here. You're on a podcast. You can't. Here being our city offices. And so in the auditorium is usually where we have our city council meeting.
In City Hall.
So we try and actually get out and move them. And so we've had them now twice at our rec facility on New Hampshire Avenue.
Okay.
And again, that's to get to a different part of the city.
Have you seen different people turn out?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Different people turn out to those and... Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons to do that. The other thing in terms of these community conversations are new.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is we do once a month Friday morning coffees where we go to a different location across the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with one of my council members, one of the people on the city council, to hold one of these coffees, usually in one of our, restaurants or establishments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a time we do it starting at 8 o'clock on a Friday morning and invite residents to come and enjoy coffee or tea or whatever, a bagel, and just sit and talk to the mayor, the city council person. Usually city staff comes as well. And again, this is an opportunity to dig deeper on some issues that we're dealing with, for people to get updates on what's going on.
So you've really done the community engagement in many different ways.
Yes. And the other thing too is, even though we're not that large of a city, we're 2.4 square miles, people are most interested in what's going on in, my little tiny, my little neighborhood, the blocks around where I live. And so one of the other things that we've been doing in partnership with the police department is having more local neighborhood meetings when we're talking about police issues, because we can have the police chief come during a city council meeting and tell us this is the crime rates across the city, this is what's happening. But people really care about, well, what's happening in like my 5-10 square blocks?
Yeah.
And is crime going up? Is it going down? Like, what type of crime? So that's another thing that we've been trying to do is also get our police department out more.
So as we near the end of our podcast, there's so many more things I'd like to talk to you about, from the nature of ambition, because obviously many of your constituents are elected officials themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. From a congressman-elect to 3 at-large county council members.
Yes.
A variety of other
appointed positions.
Many people. There's the U.S. cabinet secretary.
Yep.
So
White House chief of staff. Yep.
Lots of interesting people live in your community, which begs a question of ambition, which is what happens, and not making projections, but how would one even determine whether to run for another office? And that, I would like to segue into your motivations. Why are you doing this, and what's your legacy? I see that all as kind of tied into the same kind of ball of wax. It's why run for something higher? Well, clearly to accomplish the same kind of thing in the same vein, on a different scale. And then why even do it in the first place, which you spoke about already, and then what your legacy is. What have you actually done having followed through with that ambition?
Mm-hmm. Trying to unpackage that answer. I think it's thinking about the right person in the right place at the right time and what skills are needed.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, being here in Tacoma Park right now, as we discussed, as we see these transitions in our community, being someone who likes to be out and talking to people, bringing people together, I'm also someone who is comfortable living with sometimes with, you know, situations that aren't always like right or wrong. Like, this is definitely the way, or that's the way.
You live in the gray zone.
Yeah. And that's okay with me. And
how does that help you?
I think that helps me because as we're dealing with different situations and challenges, being able to really bring in people with different perspectives, and trying to figure out, okay, where is the common ground here?
Yeah.
Where do we need to, figure out the solution to this problem? And I think that's important to be able to do.
So here's going to be a big toughie for you, but I'm going to throw this at you. Why is the world a better place? 'Cause Kate Stewart's here.
Oh, okay. well, I would say, it's probably because of that I do like to facilitate partnerships and bring people together. I very much enjoy doing that and then seeing what happens. Like when you...
I see you smiling when you say that.
Well, it's because looking at those opportunities, when you connect... I'll give you an example. So my daughter was at the Tacoma Park Middle School, and there's a program there called the Difference Makers. And it's an amazing program.
Is your daughter a difference maker?
No, not anymore. But it's a great program because it's really about... It's very much about the students leading it, and they do community service projects, and it's an amazing group. At the same time, I was here one day talking to some of the city staff about our new snow shoveling ordinance. And, you know, we made it stricter because we need to make sure people are safe and everything. But there were a lot of people for whom they felt this was going to be burdensome because they're older or because of physical constraints. And it just occurred to me, I was like, what if we connected these young people who like to do community service projects and do all this with some of the city staff and think about, like, how do we offer these services? And so basically it was like literally connecting the city staff person with the director of the student group. And now we have this amazing, and that's all I did. Like, basically just here, you two go over here and do something together. And now we have this amazing program called the Snow Angels. And to see that like come out of just kind of connecting two people, that's really what I like doing.
So Kate Stewart is someone who likes to connect the dots in a career of public service, which is 1 year old in the office of mayor and a few years before that as a city council member and, of course, as a volunteer before that. She has connected the dots. She has brought people together. She has built relationships with community members, with elected officials, with city employees, and she's made things happen. And she clearly is enjoying it. She has a big smile in her face, and you can see it in her eyes. And that's it's fun. I can tell that you think it's fun. So thank you so much for joining us for episode 46 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.